Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening from, depending on your time zone. If you just tune in, this is the Present True Talk, where by the grace of God, we are giving expositions on the fruit of the Spirit and spiritual gifts. We were blessed last week with our guests around to discuss the introduction to this important topic. We promise our viewers that we're going to begin the second episode, which is love. With me this afternoon to discuss this important topic is Miss Esther Asari, PhD, my doctor, anyway, and then Dr. Gertrude Bampoy to help me dissect this important, yet although talked about, but less understood topic, which is L-O-E-V, love. It comes in different shades, in different colors, and so on and so forth. But I want to look and understand what the Bible talks about when it comes to love. What love is Paul, Peter, and the other apostles, and above all, what Christ actually talked about when he mentioned love. Remember, we are looking at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit. We're talking about the first one, which is love. And by introduction, I have this. I'm not a good poet, but I've penned this down. And let us have this reading as our speakers come in from a biblical perspective and from their experience and other extra-biblical support materials to take us through this particular topic. Love is the most abused word in this world. This four-letter word has been portrayed in movies, novels, politics, international organizations, synagogues, temples, art and culture, families, and among others. Fully-fledged love is an amazing word. Love types can be eros, which is passionate love, storge, which can be familiar love, laudos, which can be playful love. You know, don't play my emotions. These are some of the terminologies that you hear. Mania, which is obsessive love, philia, which is deep friendship, philatia, which is self-love, pragma, which is enduring love, or agape, which is unconditional or universal love. But you ask the question, who is the epitome, architect, and source of love? Many kings, subjects, rich, poor, big, small, young, aged, have been conquered, ruled, and reigned by it. Others have triumphed through it. It seems to permeate all spheres of life. Love, in other words, charity, is chastity. However, the law of love is the foundation of the government of God. And I love that particular quote, which is from the book Patriot and Prophet, page 3-4 and 3-5. Unfortunately, the social media, families, churches, government, entertainment industry, including sports personalities, movie makers, musicians, influencers, misrepresent love and have failed to perfect it. Love is a principle and not unreasonable. Love is not wicked. Love is not blind. Love is not unreasonable. Love is not selfish. What's the biblical view of love? Movie love, social media love, flirtation? Remember, love is an action word. Love indeed is a verb. True love will not infatuate. True love is not feelings, it's not selfish. It is not the perverted Valentine or about romance, that is the hugging and the kissing. Infatuation ruled by feelings, but true love is ruled by principle. Pure love is devoid of lust. It is not 99.999%, but it commits 100%. God possesses what we call the theophilia and then the Theophilos kind of love. And that is what he expects us to also show to our people. He is the Ethiopian, he is the epitome, he is the embodiment of love. His love is not sublinear, it is not abusive, it is not pedophilic or coercive. As John put it, simple, God is love in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It won't discontinue after the ultimate and blessed hope in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, and Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. If it realized, unlike prophecies, plans, hope, faith, and knowledge, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, love will continue from eternity to eternity. Money cannot buy it. It is precious rubies. Priests, prelates, laity, Gwen have trodden it underfoot. But the love of God, as read in John chapter 3, abounds to everyone. We welcome you to join us this afternoon. It could be evening, it could be morning in your location as we go through this particular fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Kindly comment, kindly subscribe, kindly share, kindly like to grow our viewership, and send your personal support and questions to nasifevangelism@gmail.com and presenttruthtalkshow@gmail.com. As I introduced earlier on, I have Miss Esther Asari to help us discuss this, supported by another powerful speaker, Miss Gertrude Duche Bampoy, to take us through this important topic. So, by way of introduction, before we officially commence, I'll ask Sister Duche to pray for us as Miss Esther prepares to kick the ball rolling.
All right, shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, it is by your direction that we are here on this platform. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and adoration for this moment that you have given us your words and not our own, but yours alone to share. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit, for understanding for our speakers, and also for knowledge and wisdom for us that will be speaking, especially for my sister. I pray that, Lord, you would be with her, you would be with us, and you would continue to impress upon our hearts the importance of these virtues, of these fruit of the Spirit, and of these salient parts of our lives. Continue to be with us till the end. In the mighty name of Jesus have I prayed. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mommy Esther, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We're talking about love, and you see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what is this animal called love?
Okay, at this point in the world, I believe everybody has come with it. At this point, when I say at this point in the world, I mean where knowledge is abounding everywhere, in the sense that everyone shares their opinion of what something is. We see, and everybody is exposed to social media in one way or the other, some form of social media, and some have almost every known, the famous ones, where people explain or give their opinions of what love is. So everybody at this point, no, love is not a feeling, but it's a decision. But how do we live by that truth, that it's not a feeling, but a decision? Whilst I was looking for what love is biblically, Microsoft search engine Bing, instead of giving me what love is, the first thing that came on the screen is sacrificial. That is amazing. It did not give the explanation. The first thing on top of all the searches, it has about 32,800,000 results. But on the top of it is the word sacrificial. It says, according to two sources, love is sacrificial. And that is what we know love is as Christians. The biblical definition of love is sacrificial. Love that gives first and does not expect. Love that gives peace. Love which is the foundation of the government of God. For God, we know is love. So that is what love is. I cannot give any better explanation. I cannot say it's what you feel. For the little knowledge we've had makes it very obvious love is no longer, we know what we have felt in the past and thought as love is not love. But love is me deciding or I deciding to love you, Sister Getty, Brother Lord, or anybody around me, despite what they do. And if we look at what the book of Corinthians describes what love is, it is just a description of who God is. And God is love. So it gives us who God is in terms of what love is. So that is love. It is peace. It is sacrificial. Love does not envy. Love does not do the things that the movie industry or entertainment industry have in some time past given to us, or even still tell us what it is.
Wow. Wow. It's interesting, when we were kids, we are asked to write love letters. We write, I love you 99.99 and add the one quarter. And it's very interesting, but love is 100%. It's 100%. And as you said, not the social media movie painted, the exaggeration that we actually see out there. It's not a feeling. I feel that it's not wicked. No, it's a love is wicked. That's a song, love is wicked. Love is never wicked. Love is never blind. Love can never be blind. Love is reasonable. Love is pure. And I love that it is a gift. That is how beautiful it is. It's a gift as God actually gives. Sister Gertrude, love. But your addition to what Sister Esther has just given us, love.
Yeah. In fact, I cannot add any more because she has said everything. I would like us to read the Bible verse that she said. Mm-hmm. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-8. I read, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know what other explanation we need again.
because in entirety,
mm-hmm. When we say that Bible explains Bible, mm-hmm. sometimes people do not take it for its word.
Yeah.
But then God in his own wisdom, in his own language, and even with that, he spoke through people, okay? But then he was so specific that he gives us definitions of almost everything. He doesn't say, okay, this is what I think it is, and it is plain. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4-8. In fact, when you take the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks a lot about love. Even in chapter 16, it talks so much about love. You go down in chapter 13, where we are talking about this one, the verse 8 going down, 11 going down, you see where it says that if you do things and you do not love, you are like cymbals, which is making noise and all that. So in this crazy world where, like Sister Esther said, everybody has its own definition.
Mm-hmm.
We are drawing our attention to the authentic definition.
Sure.
And look no further for definition of the owner of it than the Bible. Look no further. The definition of everything that is of God is in his word. And we don't have to mince words. Anything evil do not come from God. And God is everything but evil. So if we are speaking about love, then we are speaking about God. And he has his word. And if we are talking about God who is love, then we have to talk about his word and what is in the Bible that tells us what true love is about. So let's go back and read. Everybody, those who are listening, go back and read 1 Corinthians. Yeah. Because Sister Esther and I, Elder Jiman, we cannot put meaning in your mind. You understand what you read. Read word by word what it says that it is. And I am sure that you would come to a conclusion and be convicted about the true meaning of love and not what we see on social media.
Sure.
Amen.
You know, when the Bible talks about line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, this is exactly what you can. Most of the problems that we've created for ourselves, the solutions are there, straight in the Bible, just that we fail to apply this. And when you read the account in Genesis, we are told that our lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So even before God created us, you know, he first loved us. He had even made a plan for us. And that plan was kicked right in motion in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Right into the motion. You know, and it has played out throughout. And we saw the climax on the cross. When you see your Savior hang there. What did he do? I shuddered when I saw one of the guys slapped him from behind. And I think it was painful. When he said, "What have I done to you? Because of me, because of you." And how many people will sacrifice? You talk about love, a sacrifice, love, putting yourself before others. You do what we call katikado in Akan, which means that what I do to you, I expect you to do the same thing. We love those who only love you, hate those who hate you. And that kind of thing is not what the Bible actually wants us to take. Madam Esther, any additions on a biblical character? I know you're not talking about Jonathan and David. You know,
anyway, as you and Gertrude spoke, I was just putting these things together. When you mentioned when we were very young in senior high school, where we say, I never said that, but I heard people getting love letters. Well,
I wrote one.
Okay. The voice would say, "But I love you 99.9%, you should add the 1%. And I was just thinking, what if Christ has said, I have done everything for you, 99%, add that 0.1. We could not, we cannot in at any point in our entire lifespan on this earth, even if we should live as long as Methuselah, lived, we would never be able to add that 0.1 for us to be able to gain his acceptance and even enter into the kingdom of God. So if we are looking for somebody who showed genuine love, who is love, it is Christ. Imagine Christ saying, "Okay, I have died on the cross for you. Now it is up to your works for you to gain eternal life." Even on this Holy Sabbath day, just take account of your thoughts, of your words, of your actions, and see if you are able, if God should even judge us just by these few hours we spent in the Sabbath. Would we be worthy enough? It is only his love that he has shown to us on the cross and still continues to show to us that can gain us anything and everything that we are enjoying right now. So God, Christ's love is not the 99 for us, 99.9. Christ's love adds the 0.1. And I was also thinking, like I said, the description of what love is, that it does not envy. Imagine Christ coming to this earth and it does not boast and being so prideful that I have come to save you. So there's everybody who boasts expects something from the people they are boasting to. So it means Christ would expect something from us. We would have to submit ourselves, not in the way that we submit ourselves in a godly way, but in a way as the enemy subjects us to wrong things. If Christ's love was not that pure love we are describing now, he would be envious. It wouldn't have been Lucifer being envious of Christ in heaven. It would have been Christ being envious of Lucifer. If the love of Christ was not that kind of love that is described in 1 Corinthians 13, we would see everything wrong. And Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 5, that it is the love of God that has constrained us. And even in the modern English, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died. That love has constrained us and has convinced us so much that nobody can tell me that Christ does not love me. No one. Maybe at some point, as we discussed this, I remember some years back when I was in a dark place, I thought God did not love me. I was there accusing God, you don't love me because you did not do this, you did not do this. That is why we can't consider love based on what we get from somebody. So if we get a lot of things from someone, we think that is love. That has been the wrong perception all along. That's why we do not know what love is. I thought God giving me everything, the job I wanted, the kind of money I wanted, was evidence of his love. But I remember through that time, God made me realize his love is discipline, in that he will not lead me to do what will be detrimental to the salvation of my soul. His love is not the love that pushes us to get everything we want, but the love that will push us to a place that would lead us to eternal salvation and not damnation. So coming back to biblical characters, now that Jonathan and David are outside. Now that Jonathan and David are outside, I'll still discuss Jonathan and David. I just want to describe in this, Jonathan and David and Jonathan and King Saul.
Okay.
These characters, with David being the common one. We see Jonathan not envious of David at all.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan is the rightful heir to the throne.
Sure.
David is not. He is rightful because God has anointed him as king. And we see King Saul time after time, or time and again, show envy towards David, just because David was praised over him. But we see Jonathan show this kind of love that we are all, if we will all be honest, we have some friends that we have. There is some friction between they and us because they have not shown us the love we think they should show us. But have we also shown them the love? Yeah, we are talking about loving somebody and not expecting.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest to say, I have been expecting something from somebody, in that if they do not do that, if they do not speak well, if they dishonor me, if they disrespect you, if they do something that is shameful to you or that hurts you, you consider them as not a friend and somebody that does not love. But if I had loved myself, I would still love them regardless of what it is. But we see here, we see David and Jonathan showing that kind of love. And David kept his promise. to Jonathan, that even in the absence of Jonathan, he showed mercy to the descendant or the child of Jonathan. That is love. Love remembers promises and keeps them. And we see Elder mentioned something, that it is a gift. And so far as it is a gift, the one who gives us that gift would lead us to living according to the standards of that gift. One of it is the Holy Spirit gives you love, so he would give you the strength to keep on loving. And it is very amazing that many years after David had promised Jonathan to be fair to his descendants, God reminded David to remember that there is a descendant of Jonathan, that he has to extend the love that Jonathan showed him to him. And David did just that. But on the other side of it, we see Saul envy David from one point or one stage in his life to another, that it could have even led to his death. That is how deadly hatred, or the opposite side of not loving in the way that Christ intends us to love, extends to which it can lead us to. David could have killed Saul, for Saul was pursuing him to kill him out of envy, out of hatred. But when David got the chance, it was still the love of God that compelled him or constrained him not to touch or lay hands on the anointed servant of God. And that is what the love of God does. That is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Whilst King Saul hated him, he loved him and he showed him mercy. There is no greater love apart from Christ. Christ's love is the greatest. But another depiction of love apart from Jonathan's is what David did. It's not if he did not love God first, he would not have been able to extend that love to Saul to the extent of like vowing that God forbid that he laid his hands on the anointed servant of God. So these are the two people. David did not, Jonathan did not expect, but in his absence, David honored his promise and God reminded him to honor that promise. That is love. So God, I pray God strengthens me that way to honor mine as well.
You need this egocentric love, you know, to get through. No, we don't need this reciprocating. That is why we say the catechism is reciprocating. Mm-hmm. You know, you only will do to those who can pay you back, right? So you see, monkeys play, they see monkey play by sizes, right? So if you are not within that monkey group, it means that love is not extended to you. But amazingly, Christ died for all. That even when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is epitome of love. And that is what he wants us. That is why he's reproducing in an artistic attitude.
Yes. You know, Sister Esther has, I don't know why she likes to take my Bible characters.
I don't know, it was taken from both of us.
You know, you are liberty.
Yeah.
If you want to actually dissect that storyline, it's so many nuggets that are there.
Yes.
You know, for even David and that of Saul, it's a very complex kind of analogy, kind of something that played out. In fact, I don't think God calls David a man after his own heart. I understand. Because for him to get the opportunity to just say no, and even the person who even reported falsely that he has killed Saul, what happened? His life was taken there and then. You know, so it's kind of the kind of love that this man actually showed towards Saul. It's very difficult for us to practice that. Enemy after you. Then the person comes to, you are not even chasing, the person comes to where you are. And then you have opportunity to just take the sword and that is it, you are done.
Mm.
And you never, like, it's quite amazing. You have your liberty to discuss that story.
You see, we, in our discussions, we have said some of the most prominent people in the Bible that are the epitome of love. And the first one Sister Esther mentioned was Jesus. She spoke about Jesus and the fact that he is the ultimate person that loves. And then another character is David and then Jonathan. She has dissected it. I don't want to go there. I'd like to take this man, Joseph. You know, when we are speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, like the last time we said that God, if only you rely on God and he gives you that, everything that you do, he empowers you to do it. And I see love when he was thrown into the dungeon. I see love when he humbled himself in the house of Potiphar. And I see love when he restrained himself. The self-control that portrayed, that was the love of God. Because the Bible says that if you love me, keep my commandments. He remembered that. I see love when his brothers came, and instead of, to be sincere, if it were to be any other person who do not possess the fruit of the Spirit, it would have been straight prison. Straight. No doubt about it. Straight prison. I will not even look in your eyes. I will deny you. In fact, I don't know you. You, my family, do you know me? I don't know you. And especially on a foreign land, it is love. And it is love that compelled him to love God, that he can become that second in command. Because without that, he wouldn't have even accepted the way of life of the Egyptians. He loved God, and he knew that God is able to work through him. And the promise that he knew, there can be famine, there can be this, he was prepared to save enough food to help everyone. Not everybody can do that. He could have been selfish. He could have done a lot of things. But Joseph, all through the actions that are recorded in the Bible, is seen to be constantly, constantly being defended by the fact that he loved. Because it is very difficult for somebody coming through that painful experience to even possess love. And you know the funny thing that this world is making us do? You know, sometimes when we go through painful experiences and we come out, we then tend to shield the love that we have somewhere and dwell on that painful thing to judge. So we go like, me, this thing that somebody has done for me, I will never help anybody. I will never. I am protecting myself. This friend that has hurt me, I will never talk to you. And the funny thing is we justify it. We justify it. And we think that we are loving ourselves. But right in the Bible, it says that love is selfless. It is selfless. Let us not use our experiences. Let us not have, let us not develop anti-love. Like we tend to be anti-love because of what has happened. Because if we take Joseph, for example, if he were to do that, I am sure all his brothers and his family would have suffered a lot like he did. Because you could have said, because they have sold me, I would never call them as my family. I would never provide food for anyone. I would never love anybody. I would never do this. And in the end, it would have been destruction for everybody. So I pray that as we all go through our experiences, people may hurt us. We may not see the good side of life most of the time. We may get hurt in so many angles that it will be difficult to love. But look at Christ. You did nothing for him. He deserved nothing from you, but he died for you. And that is the ultimate that we have to look for. We have to look at. We have to look at him as the ultimate example. And if we do that, if anything happens to us along the line, we will not be deterred in loving people just as Christ has loved us. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Don't dwell on the past to hurt the people that you are living with. Some people have taken on all kinds of vices. And then when you ask them their rationalization, is that somebody has done that during the family, did not treat them well, the mom, and that the mom has done wickedly to you, but it doesn't give you the warranty to also go about and then what hurt other people. You're rather to love them. Christ said, if you greet only those who greet you, if you love only those who love you, what do you get? Even the Haitians actually do that. The Haitians, they do, and they love so much. A story was told about this drinking gang, that one person was so sick. He was asking for alcohol because he was suffering from some liver problems. Ah. And he was in a room, and they made sure that they took all the drinks and all that. He was not giving money. But when the friends are visiting him, what they will do is that they will fetch some of these, the bottles that they are coming with. They actually will put some of the alcohol inside. And when they come and then they are leaving, then they will leave that bottle behind. They will come and the guy is drunk. And but we are not getting this. How are we stopping? So you see, even those people, how the kind of love that they are exhibiting, like they will sacrifice and do everything to make sure that that person, although poisoning him, will get whatever he or she wants to enjoy. How much more who have been saved by grace? We are told that love is a plant of heaven. Love is a plant of heavenly growth, and it must be fostered and nourished. Our take-home messages. I love that particular quote. Love is a plant of heavenly growth, and it must be fostered and nurtured. Madam Esther, your take-home message to you, and then to our listeners.
Discuss
this the whole day and
I've just memorized that quote right now. The love is a plant of heavenly growth. It must be fostered and nurtured. Love has to grow. Love cannot be stagnant. I cannot love the first time you encounter somebody, the love you have for them from the beginning is not the same as time passes. And you foster it, nurture it in the sense that God knows we are human beings, we would hurt each other. We don't foster it in the sense of building walls around us, like Sister Getty said. Imagine Christ saying, I know you human beings. I came on earth and you did not accept me. So I am going to build a wall around the love I have for you so you won't have to hurt me anymore. Then how are we going to live on this earth? But even being treated the way we treated him on this earth, he still loves us so much. We see his love shown to us every morning. Like in the book of Lamentations, it said, morning by morning, new mercies we see. It is your faithfulness. We see his love in nature around us. We see his love when he delivers us from disasters or tragedies or from certain troubles. We see his love in him answering our prayers and not answering them according even to our very evil wills. That is the love of God. And if Christ, that we hurt so much every day, still loves us to the point that Paul writes that, what shall separate us from the love of God? Neither death nor principalities. He goes on with the list. Nothing is ever going to separate us from the love of God. So why do we want to separate ourselves from his love to the extent that deprive other people of that same love? Let the love of Christ constrain us, convince us to the extent that we would extend that love to the people around us. For if I say, we are all hypocrites at one point, even I am. If I say, I can go on my knees and say, God, I love you. But I am striving with loving somebody at work, somebody in the family, somebody at in my community, wherever, in my social circle. We are all striving with loving some people, but the strife does not mean it has to end there. It rather means that go to the source of love, that he would fill you. I learned this prayer many years ago. I was reading a devotional, and the writer, I've forgotten who the writer was, but the writer made it clear that some people make it very difficult for you to love them. And we also find it very difficult to love some people. So he wrote this prayer that, God, love those people through me. Mm-hmm. That's changed my life. I saw myself loving somebody that, if I would be honest, I did not really like them. And it was for no reason. I can't pinpoint a reason why I did not like them, but I saw myself liking that person and building a relationship with that person in the final month of my study. It was during my bachelor's. And I have prayed that prayer every time, and it has worked every time. So may God help us love the people around us as He loves them through us, and show us what real love is, what divine heavenly love is. That as we love them, that alone is evangelism, to draw people to God. Amen.
Wow. Wow.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sister, I get you.
Yes,
you've consumed almost all your time, you know. The topic is so interesting that you don't even want to be our listeners.
Yes.
Let's enjoy you a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a blessing. It's a blessing and great lessons that we are learning. I have learned a lot. And I would like to end by reading Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony."
Wow.
It binds everything together in perfect harmony. You know, when you go to a choir and they are singing, and there is this maybe auto singer who is singing off. In fact, that's harmony. you know that voice is not in harmony, and it messes up the whole other tunes. You know, that is how love is. It binds everything in harmony and not in parts. Everything. And if we are to do all the things in the Bible and all the commandments that God has given us, it is through love. That is why He said the greatest of these, in summary, He summarized them into three, but then still picked one. He said the greatest of these is love. And I have really learned the great importance of having love, because without it, a lot of things would not happen in our lives and in the life of others. So like Sister Esther said, let us not deprive others of love, because that means we are not in harmony with ourselves. Amen.
Yes, that means you are not in harmony with ourselves. There is this irony: the more time you spend with Jesus, the higher the love becomes. But unfortunately, the more time we spend with our colleagues and our friends, familiarity brings contempt, and what happens? It creates instead of So love, remember, so it's not blind, it's not unreasonable, it's not infatuation, it's not passion, it's not feeling. Love is principle. Love is pure. It's a gift from God. And it's a precious article. Its price is like ruby. If nothing can buy it, money cannot even purchase it. So until we come your way with another one, from love, where are we going to?
From love, we go to joy.
Yeah, we go to joy. Viewers should expect that we come their way with joy. Joy. Next 2 weeks is bi-weekly by the grace of God. So they should read around. They should continue to read a text that has been given, especially 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The whole chapter is very, very important. John 3:16 is also very important. And then there's John 1, John 2, John 3. And you see, if John, of all people, who was calling for tender to come, who was calling for parochial interest to occupy the highest seat, to write these things, he give me comfort that irrespective of where I have gone through this, how hateful I've been, I can be transformed by what? By the Holy Spirit. And the God, Jesus Christ working in me. Madam Esther, can you pray for us? And our viewers.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this discussion. Whilst we have discussed with the goal of sharing with others, we have also learned a lot. You've opened our eyes to where we have erred concerning this topic. And dear Lord, we are sorry. We ask that you forgive us and you cleanse us and fill us with your love. Lord, if there's anybody that we have deprived of of love, of your love, we pray you forgive us.
Amen.
And please come and live your life of love, your life of victory over hatred and envy and all the other vices or the things of the flesh in us, that we may be victorious and love as Christ loves. Dear Lord, we pray for our viewers, our listeners. We ask that your Holy Spirit will turn these words into your words and give them understanding. And Father, we pray that you will continually abide with each one of us, and even with the whole body of Christ in every part of the world. May we be bound by the cords of love that can never be broken. That is the love of Christ. And may we stand in that love and continue to serve you. Thank you for hearing our prayers, and thank you for bringing us together today, and continue to abide with us even as we depart. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, my able discussant. Our listeners, also thank you, our viewers. Please remember to subscribe to our channels. We have the Nanjing Adventist Student Fellowship channel. We have the Present Truth channel. We are on Brighton. We are on UG YouTube. We are on Rumble. We are on Odyssey. These are affiliate platforms. Go there, subscribe, like, share, give your support, give your comments, post questions. If you want any topic for us to discuss, you can also post that particular topic and we will do justice to that. God bless all of us and bye-bye. See you.
Bye. Bye.
Joy!